wasn't as bad as what I did to you.
Luke 4.
Mary's car.
I could do that.
Verse 25. We started to study the word truth. And it's a lothia. Let's go to Romans 15. Verse something or other. Verse 6. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He was for the truth of God, he was made a minister of circumcision. Now what does that mean? Anyone? I've read that passage 100 times, and I've never seen that way that's written.
It had to happen so that Christ could be revealed through.
He was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises. I'm not sure what that means, actually. Gary, you always have.
I think it's circumcision is the way things work by the law, and he was a minister of both circumcision and uncircumcision, but circumcision so that he could show himself in the law. Without the law, he couldn't have the spirit.
Yeah, what it's talking about, it's a reference, and I know what it means. It's a reference of the circumcision. He's talking about Israel. Israel was of the circumcision. And so he was made a minister of the circumcision. He completed the mystery, whether they accepted him or not. So when it says of the circumcision, many times in the scriptures, the circumcision versus the uncircumcision are talking about the Jews versus the Gentiles, and that's what's going on here. He was made a minister of the circumcision, or of Israel. All right, that's the first one. Let's go to John. We're going to try to do in an order. John 14:6, or 14-something. Oh, I know what this one is. What?
Mystery morning?
No.
Get all the esoteric.
We're just talking about circumcision. I mean truth. Excuse me.
We're in John 6?
We're in John 14.
Sounds a lot like 6.
Yeah, it's, doesn't that? It's just the even the emphasis is right.
You throw something out, you get corrected.
Let not your heart be troubled, in verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many seders. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself or from myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works, and greater than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a lot of stuff there. First of all, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we've made that into a moral option, i.e. you have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior in order that you can go to the Father. But it's not a moral option. It's a cosmic fact. No man can go to the Father except by or through him. Remember, all men die at the same instant from the beginning of time. And all men die at the cross. And it's none of our business what happens after the cross. So the only way you can get from time and space to eternity is through him. Because you understand what I'm saying? It's more sure than gravity or, you know, any law. You sure you got this?
I'm trying to think of a parable. It's like a tree, you know. It's like many branches, many tributaries or whatever, but they all are part of the same source, which is God.
Well, that's doesn't work here because we got people that are apparently not part of the tree. I.e., they haven't known Jesus. So in time and space, they've been pagans. You understand what I'm saying?
When you say haven't known them, I mean, what does that mean? If all men have the seed, they just haven't. And now the word is big because have they not accepted him? Or
well, they haven't repented. So the seed is like a dead seed. It's a seed that has never fallen into the ground and died. It's like a pecan that becomes mostly squirrel food.
Potential.
Potential. What?
Potential. I mean, that's what the seed is.
The potential is there. Yeah.
It's not an accomplished fact.
Right. It's the divine spark that's in everyone.
It's like I'm going to fly to D.C., but if I don't get on the plane, it's just potential.
Right. All right. So the truth here, it says, again, and we've said this so many times, it gets to be a cliche, but I am the way. It doesn't say he's going to show you the way. I am the truth. He's not going to tell you the truth. And I am the not life. He's not going to give you life. He is those things. He is wisdom. He is sanctification. He is peace. All the other things. But you, if you separate and saying, he shows me the way, then you've missed the mystery because you still think of yourself as separate. That's why, you know, that whole idiot thing about the footsteps in the sand. Well, that's not true. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is in all men. But all men haven't fallen into the ground and died. They haven't died to themselves before their physical death. It doesn't matter what you say outwardly. It doesn't matter what you say you believe. It matters what's going on inside you. Amen? All right. Let's look at another one. John 17.
Yeah, I was thinking reading that scripture, you keep in mind you are on the cross. There's no place for you at all in the scenario.
Yeah, you can't get through the cross.
Yeah. So the mystery then is intact. And it's like, how does this work?
Yeah. All right. John, remember we've talked about this before. Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer. But John 17, I mean, it's really the disciples' prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And if you look at it, it shows he goes through the whole thing where now he finally says, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And now he goes through it in all of the words of John 17 are his prayer to the Father. And it's all about the prayer that they would be one in, that his disciples would be one in him and he one in us and all one in the Father. And so verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. From evil, it doesn't. It says, notice, it's the evil one. Thou should keep them from the evil one. Now, again, that's not external. He's keeping them from the evil one, you. Keeping them from themselves. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now,
about himself. He's talking about himself.
This is why Abraham was so important, and what we talked about yesterday. If you you have to test whatever you believe. All your opinions about life, all your opinions about value systems, they have to be tested and see if they still are right in every time, place, and circumstance. If they're not, then they're not worthy of giving any importance to. And so this is how you bring every thought into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. We're not talking about any moral option here. It's the only thing that can stand that test. Truth isn't something you believe, or truth is something that doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. That's why your speech must be seasoned with salt, because your salt is that same thing in the parable. That's truth. And it is not, if you hear somebody, I don't care what they are, they're a preacher or anything, whether it's politics or sports or anything, if what they are saying or what you're hearing or what you're thinking changes with, take it to the extremes. That's what I did. When I read this, I took everything to the extremes. So that if it changed in any time, any place, or any circumstance, then it wasn't the truth. And this is the test if you go to a preacher or listen to a preacher on television. If what he's saying couldn't equally be said in the circus of Rome while the lions were eating the Christians, or in the Sudan where they're chopping off your arm if you say you're a Christian, then it's prosperity gospel. It's just puffs of air. It's just, but everybody wants to believe in it. Everybody understand that? That's the real reason we're studying this word, truth. All right, let's go to still John, chapter 18. Yeah, this is a good one. This is Jesus before Pilate. Then in verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Tell it thee of me. Then Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate said therefore unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answereth, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. So then, obviously, then they yell, Crucify him. I've had experience many, many times since the day I was a believer, where I said, for instance, I said anything that the person apparently had never heard before, but inside there was a spark, and they knew that they knew that they knew at that instant. Now, that's what it says. It's his people know his voice. They hear that nothing about Jesus can change with time or place or circumstance. And that's what you hear, that timeless thing that he is and he alone is. Amen? And so what Pilate was asking rhetorically was, what is truth? You know, that's the basic thing that everybody is searching for. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I had a long talk with Nick yesterday about language, about what we do, and how most of the time when pagans talk, when we talk, if we're not in him, you're speaking in order to gain something, to gain recognition or acknowledgement or getting something from, you know, if you're in business or getting a contract or getting a job if you're looking for a job, getting laid if you're whatever. And so your speech tends to be sorcery. That's what words become. Because you're trying to end, you're trying to mix a bunch of stuff together and come up with a way to get the thing that you think you want. And you use words to do it. And that's sorcery. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is something a believer should never do. The purpose of words is only to reveal the word. But if you're using words for any other purpose, then you are practicing a form of sorcery. If you use we've talked about it, if you treat somebody that you think is important differently than you treat the lowest peon, then you're using sorcery. Now, if you look and hear and listen carefully to the words of these guys on television, it's all sorcery. They search every day. They search the scriptures not to see Christ, but they search the scriptures to find a half of a scripture that will justify them asking you for your money. And it becomes, many of them start out perfectly wonderful in terms of their heart is right. They're trying to spread this mystery of God. But what happens? Television becomes so expensive. I watched this happen when we started Channel 33. Slowly but surely, the people began to start opting and co-opting this idea that the need for money was always the predicate for what you said. And it just became unbearable. And I did it for a while. You know, I was sitting there and I'd do all these little gimmicks to try to get people to send in money. And it was making me sick to my stomach. But I want you to see, if you could hear your own voice when you're talking to someone for whom you want something, it just becomes a stench in your nostrils. If you can hear it once, then your obedience is fulfilled, and you just can't do it again. You'd rather die than do it. So what bottom line is, you have to be in the state of being that there is nothing in the universe that you want or need. And therefore, there's never a place where you're using sorcery or language as sorcery. That's, to me, the position of a disciple. You know, these ministries, they say they're faith ministries, then they ask you for money. That's not a faith ministry. But I'm not concerned about that now. I'm concerned about each one of us. That we always demand truth from ourselves. Amen? All right, I don't know how I got on that. All right, but here we go. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that just means you want more than you have. It sounds like, oh, you know, you'd have to be a Caligula or something to be guilty of that. No, it's just wanting more than you have, wanting the condition you're in to be different than it is. So anyway, go down to verse, we're almost there. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You put off the former manner of life, the conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, that's pretty intense. If you read it, if you understand it. You have, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth, the only truth. That's why the article is there. The truth is in Jesus. Amen? All right. Let's stop there. Now we're going to, next, I thought we were going to do that today. We're going to find out why they threw him, wanted to throw him off the edge of the cliff.
Maybe on Monday.
Oh, we're not meeting anymore, are we?
That's right.
Oh.
Just a little reminder.
Well, for those of you who wonder, Ollie will be in here teaching Friday morning because he's going to forget.
Yeah.
We won't have a meeting Friday.
And then I'll get really mad.
Yeah, get really mad.
All right. We didn't have to put that on.
Too late.
All right, take it, big guy.
Are we going to walk Friday morning anyway?